Okay, Dad, I've got a question for you.
All right.
Did you carry a transistor radio around with you as a child and listen to music, like whatever was playing on the air?
No. I think when I was real little, I think I owned a transistor radio, but I never listened to anything. And I never listened to hardly any music at all.
You didn't listen to music?
No.
So would you think that, what do you think of kids today as they carry a smartphone around and listen to music constantly?
I think they're wasting their time.
Why? Aren't they enjoying and amusing themselves with music?
Well, yeah, but they're obsessed with it. They can't put it down. I mean, fine to listen to it for a song or two, but you need to do something more constructive with your life other than walk around listening to music.
I agree.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. Well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to part 7 in our series, Questioning Dr. Peter Gray's Claimed Benefits of Smartphone Ownership for Kids. Today, we're talking about the benefit that he states of amusement. Now, as we've been doing, we're going to consider whether or not this benefit is an actual real benefit for children, right? Not just for adults, but actual children. Is it beneficial to them? We're also going to consider it biblically. Does this benefit align with the values and the principles prescribed in Scripture for kids? Or is this a detriment to biblical discipleship? So first, let me start by reading how Peter Gray briefly describes this benefit in his Substack article. He says, quote, "Kids used to carry transistor radios to listen to whatever music was on the air. Now, with the smartphone, they and we can listen to whatever music or stories or podcasts or anything else we choose, no matter where we are," end quote. All right. So now let's begin by stating what we can affirm is true with what he said. Yes, a smartphone is a tool that lets you listen to music or books or podcasts, right? Just as he describes there. But we also know, like, those are just audio examples of amusement. That's not the only type of accessible media that someone might deem amusing, right, that you can access on a smartphone. And I'll just say that by amusement, since it's a pretty broad category, we're just going to simply mean the experience of enjoyment of entertainment. So therefore, we can definitely affirm the smartphone does indeed provide that benefit of the enjoyable experience of entertainment. So whether you're streaming a movie, whether you're listening to music on a walk or a podcast while you're cleaning the kitchen or an audiobook on a long drive, it is a tool for that. But like those examples are what we as adults do. It's a benefit to us as we go about our adult life, but is that the same for kids? And I think that he already is questioning this because we can see in what he says they, referring to children, but then he adds in, and we can do this, right? And then we can choose to do this no matter where we are. So it's definitely something he sees as an adult and a child benefit. Now, but if we are to define amusement biblically, we can see that it sort of sits under this like broad category of rest or joy, gladness, and lawful pleasure, right? These are things that are good gifts that God gives us that should serve us rather than master us. And enjoyment and entertainment, we know they are not inherently sinful. As we recognized before, with self-expression, right? God is a creative God. He created a world that is rich with beauty and rhythm, story, humor, and delight. And he has given some people extraordinary talent to sing and others to act or tell stories or write books. And all of that can be for our amusement or enjoyment. But now, if we only look at our smartphones as a tool for music, kind of like he does, well, then yes, it would make sense for you to carry it around with you for that benefit. In the same way that the people in the 1900s carried around a transistor radio or a Walkman, or even better yet, how we as adults, maybe this included you, carried around an iPod back in 2005. But the smartphone, it just is not only a tool for listening to music or for just generalized amusement. The smartphone is a tool that is engineered to capture and keep attention. Right? Unlike the transistor radio, smartphones are laden with persuasive and personalized design features that is intended to shape and influence your behavior. Right? A Walkman that is playing the cassette of Michael Jackson's Thriller, right? That Walkman has no way of convincing you to listen to Madonna instead, right? Back in the 80s. It had no way of doing that. So, I mean, sure, you could tune in to the FM radio station and get a curated set of songs, or, you know, the AM station and hear talk news. But, right, the radio signals, they didn't collect personal data on you and then turn all that data back into recommendations or personalized ads, right? The radio station didn't know what you watched on television at home or which newspaper or magazine articles you read or your shopping history. But the smartphone does all of this, right? That is the personalized and persuasive design that is built into it. So the question we have to consider right now, it isn't whether or not we keep our kids from enjoying music and podcasts, but the question is, what kind of amusement do they have access to all of the time? Or is it amusement for the sake of distraction or procrastination, coping, or addiction? Or is it amusement in the form of worship music or edifying content or Christian podcasts, right? There could be a lot of other good things. So we have to ask, to what end? We need to recognize how amusement can become a master, mastering us, displacing what is better, what is greater, and honestly, what's more eternal? What actually has more eternal purpose? And then, of course, we have to recognize, again, over and over and over again, we have to remind ourselves how smartphones are engineered to capture time and attention, because that really matters. And so that, friends, is where we're going to go today. So let's go ahead and start in God's Word. The Scripture's baseline for evaluating lawful pleasures comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. He says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. That's 1 Corinthians 6:12. So few people would argue that amusement as a broad category is an evil master, right? Broadly, amusement is not that, right? But if you break down the category into how it shapes behavior, it's a lot easier to see how something that could and should be beneficial, like music, can turn into an idol or start to master someone by changing their behavior. Consider how entertainment industry leaders often describe sleep as their product's greatest competitor. It's like Netflix isn't really competing with Prime TV or Hulu. They're competing with the user's sleep, right? And this isn't like targeted campaign against children, right? They're doing this to adults, to us as adults. And I don't have to describe this to you. I'm sure you've felt it, but you've stayed up later watching something, one more show, one more movie, or whatever, later than you want it to. And it's because these entertainment companies are engineering their platforms for maximum engagement with the goal that the user loses sleep for the sake of more amusement. Now, because Peter Gray specifically cites music as a primary source of amusement, I think it's important to recognize the role of Spotify in the lives of kids today. Now, I've spoken before about Spotify, both in episode number 162, which was the problem of music, and episode 200 that my husband and I did on the dangers of hyper-personalization. But I'm going to reiterate it here. Spotify has infamously captured the ears of young people with curated playlists for every moment and mood of their life. Like, if you didn't realize this, like, this is what they do. There is a playlist for every moment. So here's some examples. Bedroom pop, leave, I'm sad, nighttime driving, Sunday morning, main character, kitchen dance party, 3 a.m. can't sleep club, and POV, you're on your period. So through these like algorithmic recommendation ecosystems that have been created, like children and teens with smartphones, they end up with AirPods in their ears all day long, listening to a curated playlist for their every mood and every minute of their day, right? They tune out the world around them, never experiencing silence, and are never required to honestly just sit and exist with their own thoughts. That is so common. I hear it all the time from young people. And here's the deal. If a child cannot be alone with their own thoughts, they're going to struggle to be alone with God. And that's not freedom, right? That's what it looks like to be mastered by something. Because what starts out as amusement, as innocent amusement, turns out to be an evil master because it's modifying their behavior in negative ways. And this has spiritual consequences as well, right? Even if this was all worship music all day long, there would still be consequences to never allowing your brain to experience the quiet, allowing for reflection and meditative thought, right? Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." If they're never still, if they're never sitting in silence, alone before God, how will they grow to know and to trust God? Because it's in this time of quiet, of meditating on God's word and of praying, that conviction arises in our hearts. This is where confession and repentance can come to the surface, where gratitude and wisdom can grow. It's in the quiet, silent spaces with God that we can hear him. He comes as a whisper, right? He does not come directly through, you know, loud worship music. So what is most beneficial, if we're going to talk about the benefits to kids, is of course, is learning how to be still, how to pray, how to listen, how to reflect, how to repent, how to worship, right? These are skills that will not have the opportunity to grow during childhood when every moment is filled with amusement. And again, right, that is just considering music. When you take into account that the smartphone offers so much more amusement than that, well, it's easy to see how it can grow to master more and more of a child's life. Between TikTok and other short-form video platforms and Netflix, video games, pornography, there is so much on-demand entertainment available on a smartphone that when kids are left to honestly their immature preferences, many of these children are going to consistently choose what is easiest, what is most convenient, what is most immediately rewarding, not what is formative, right? They're not going to choose the deep meditative process of praying. They're not going to choose learning. They won't choose boredom. And they won't choose silence right before God. And the entertainment platforms know this. They step right into this and then they exploit kids because they know that a captured heart is easily mastered with amusement. And this is the very concern that Neil Postman had wrote about in what I'm going to call his prophetic book back in the 80s called Amusing Ourselves to Death. His concern was television and what good things were being replaced by passive consumption of television, right? And that still needs to be our deepest concern as well. Not that our children aren't going to be amused or experience the enjoyment of being entertained. We need to be concerned that they will lose out or miss out on foundational and formative experiences in their lives because they've become mastered by amusement. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16 tells us to be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And then verse 17 says, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Well, a lot of people would say, oh gosh, I don't know. What is the Lord's will? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, the Lord's will is that you are to be sanctified, right? And sanctified means set apart for holiness and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And sanctification is another one of the major losses in a life that is ruled by entertainment. I think we all like to believe that we can be sanctified while being continually amused and entertained at the same time. I think this is also why Christian entertainment is having such a moment, if you will, right now, right? Because for some, watching The Chosen is equivalent to reading scripture, right? But for others, it's just the most edifying entertainment option compared to all the other things that are available on Netflix and Hulu. But we have to realize that even Christian content can become a way to avoid stillness, to avoid prayer and obedience. We cannot replace communion with God with content about God. As parents, we need to be very cautious not to, I would say, kind of silently or absentmindedly equate sanctification with entertainment when raising our kids, right? Because the Christian media market has so much out there aimed at children. Apps like Minnow, which aren't inherently bad. I have no problem with Minnow. But because they are entertaining and amusing, you can be easily deceived to believe that it serves as a substitute for discipleship or a stand-in for character and moral training. And honestly, just a replacement for one-on-one time together. Like if you let it, it can do that. And again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having your child's like 30 minutes of screen time a day or over the weekend being Minnow, right? It's honestly so much better than anything on YouTube. But what I'm saying is we must be very careful not to conflate the Christian life, right? The sanctification and the surrender to God's will as an experience that needs to be entertaining all the time, right? Because learning about God and His Word, it can be fun, but we must model and teach how to sit silently before the Lord, how to pray, how to memorize the Word of God and apply the Word. These aspects of a Christian life, they aren't sensational and they aren't entertaining and they should never be that because it's one-on-one time with our Creator, right? This is what is formative in our lives. This is what shapes our heart, our mind, and our spirit to be more like Christ. You can't sensationalize that to make it more entertaining. And the other reality is that amusement takes a lot of time and attention. And time and attention are two commodities in life that you cannot get back once you have spent them, right? And how you spend your time and spend your attention or pay attention, as it usually is said, right? That is what Ephesians 5 that I just read before is emphasizing, right? Be careful how you live, right? How you spend your time, what you give your attention to. And we are called to do that, of course, with wisdom. Well, I know that none of us as parents today are going to deny that the time spent on amusement, it's a growing concern, right? We are truly being so amused and so entertained on every level, everywhere we go. Everything's been gamified, right? But allowing a child between ages 5 and 15 years old, right, to have a smartphone for the intended benefit of amusement, right? Even if it's limited amusement, you know, because you've got parental controls on there, just the mere fact of having that phone for amusement trains the child's heart to believe that pleasure, right, which is amusement, that pleasure is found on the phone rather than in real life relationships or real life experiences. And you can say, oh yeah, well, you know, not really. I mean, I'm only allowing this much. But if you look at the trajectory of what has happened throughout Gen Z, is they have become really engrossed in their entertainment and not nearly as involved in their real life experiences and relationships. See, because friends aren't available all of the time, anywhere, with no or very little effort. But smartphone entertainment is, right? You can access it anytime, anywhere, just like Peter Gray said. But friends aren't always available, right? I mean, as it is right now, teens already spend an average of 4.8 hours a day on social media alone, according to a Gallup poll. So when nearly 5 hours are spent on the amusement of social media, and let's just say, I mean, let's not fool ourselves, much of social media is amusement, right? It's not all connection with peers, as they like to say. When 5 hours, though, 5 hours of their day, of their time and their attention is spent on this, we have to think and consider, what is going through their mind? What is the thoughts that a teen is thinking with 5 hours of this type of amusement and pleasure? Are their thoughts healthy? Are they biblical? Are they wholesome, humble, pure? Or after 5 hours, are their thoughts harmful? Are they unholy, impure? Are they arrogant? Are they jealous? Are they unkind? See, excessive amusement, it doesn't just displace good things. It also introduces negative things, such as lust, such as discontentment. Just because a teen is spending a lot of time and attention there doesn't mean that that content has value, right? Because time and attention can be spent on worthless things, right? There's really such sound and divine reason why God's word tells us to guard our hearts with all vigilance, right? That's Proverbs 4:23. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. So we can see that the influences, the voices, the images, the people, all of this that you allow into your heart and into your mind, they can be corruptive. It can take your pure thoughts and make them impure, your humble thoughts and make them prideful. And this is why God instructs us through the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:8 to control our minds in that whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Can we do that while consuming so much amusement? Are our thoughts going to be on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable if we are watching Netflix, if we are consuming secular music through Spotify, if we are consuming social media? See, amusement through a smartphone is not a neutral intake. It is discipleship through repetition. The smartphone wants you to repeat it. They make it so persuasive, so personalized that you don't want to stop. And it's through that repetition that it disciples you. And when what a child consumes, what they take in, whether that's music, whether it's games, shows, all of it, it shapes their heart, shapes their mind, and their soul. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. I will not be mastered by anything. This needs to be on repeat in our heads whenever we consider giving our child an internet-connected smart device for amusement, whether that be a phone, whether it be an iPad. We've got to think that. And even more than us just thinking it, we need to teach this verse and its meaning to our children so that we can train them to discern for themselves between what is permissible, because lots of things are permissible, and what is beneficial. Okay, so to summarize, the smartphone is not the only way to give kids amusement. The smartphone, we know, is engineered to capture time and attention, and critical aspects of spiritual development are displaced when there is no quiet space left in their lives, when it's consumed with amusement. So we shouldn't be convinced to accept all of the known concerns about smartphones for this very small benefit of amusement, because it also comes with such a great risk of enslavement. But here's the good news. There are some practical alternatives to giving their child a smartphone for amusement, right? Music can be played on a Bluetooth speaker in a public area of the home. There are also record players coming back in vogue. You can get them a record player. I know several teens who have record players and are collecting records. You can even do boom boxes again. For portability, there is a product called the Mighty 3. It's a little portable, almost like an iPod Shuffle, if you will. It's a great option, especially if you as the parent already have Spotify, because you can just share like maybe some curated playlists onto that device that they could listen to during certain times of the day or when they're working out or something. If you want to listen to podcasts, or your kids want to, right? They can be accessed through a computer, through a smart speaker, smart TV. You know, the same applies like audiobooks. They can also be accessed through a Kindle as well. There are different ways to access these audio forms that Peter Gray references other than a smartphone. And just to be clear, in case you've not seen our Tech Under 12 recommendations, we at Brave Parenting do not recommend any at all personal handheld devices for entertainment on a regular basis. Right? It should only, like the iPad, the smartphone, if it is yours that you're sharing, whatever, it should be reserved for special circumstances, such as long car rides, although there's a lot more you can do, or air travel. Otherwise, right, shows, those kind of entertainment and amusing activities should be done on a television in public areas of the home. And again, there's still screen-free amusement that abound out there in our communities, whether it be plays, sporting events, all of that can still be amusement. It doesn't have to be on a screen. You can check out our list of media and tech recommendations for under age 12. I'll link that in the show notes. Okay, so now, as we've been doing week after week, I want to leave you with questions to consider, questions to sort of wrestle with in case you are thinking, I don't know, I really still think that the smartphone or the iPad, the best benefit is amusement. Right, so if your child has a smartphone, here's a question you can ask yourself regarding whether or not your child is mastered by amusement. Can my child take a walk, ride in a car, do chores, or wait in line without immediately reaching for their phone and putting in AirPods? Now, if they don't have their own device, but have access to one for entertainment, you can ask yourself, does this content make my child more loving, more calm, more attentive, or does it make him more distracted, irritable, and self-absorbed? Like, what character traits are winning out? And if you're a parent who has yet to allow a personal handheld device in your kid's hands, I want you to ask yourself, what are my child's natural interests, passions, talent, skills, and academic potential? How could these change with access to amusement whenever and wherever they are? Now, these are such important questions, I think, to ask ourselves, to wrestle with. They really do matter tremendously. We need to be intentional. Okay, so as I wrap up, I just want to give that one last recommendation. If you have not read Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman, I'll link in the show notes. It is a small but incredible book, again, written in the 80s, talking about television, but so true for us today. All right, that's all I have for you today. Join me next week for part 8 and the benefit of connecting with peers. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. And until next time, go and be brave.
This technology right here in front of me is blowing my mind.